Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. We are back live. This is the live show this morning on your Black Friday, your day after Thanksgiving. This is John Jackson sitting in for Aaron Flint. That previous 2 hours was some best of show from the Aaron Flint show, but we are for the next 2 hours live, and everybody ought to be out there listening this morning, because you guys know everybody is off today. Yeah, but you're sitting at home. You're not going to be going out early unless you went out for the Black Friday crazy shopping. Everybody ought to be at home or where they got their phone. They can listen to the app, listen to the show. You know, that's the thing about the Black Friday shopping now. People don't do like they did 10, 15 years ago, right? It's not the Black Friday deals are not where you have to get out there and be at the store, at the, you know, where they open up at 6 a.m. And you guys remember all that from a few years ago? That was what everybody did, was get there. But see, now everything is online. And it's not just today. They will do these sales for a week before and a week after. And isn't, correct me if I'm wrong, Caden, isn't that like Cyber Monday too? I mean, they have spread, Caden's saying, yeah, it is. They spread these sales out now for weeks and weeks and weeks, and you can do it online at your leisure. I just tried to order myself, got a Black Friday deal on a espresso machine, pretty nice one. It got about $100 off of it on the Black Friday deal. And I get the kickback this morning after they advertise it. The kickback this morning is, sorry, we don't have that, you know, out of stock right now. Well, why are you out there advertising it? If, you know, because you ever notice when you see online shopping, it'll say so many in stock, four more left at this price, yada yada. They know what the stock is. I didn't understand that. Now I'm going to have to go back to the deals again and see if I can find one. Because I love my espresso, right? But I'm out here paying $9 a day or more for my espresso that I love. And you can pay for one of these machines pretty quickly, and I've just been too lazy to do it. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to find me a deal. But like I said, this morning, you guys call in here. We have got completely open phone lines. This is the live show, all right? 406-294-0970. We're going to get into everything, the news of the day. And I know because of Thanksgiving and the time, I know Aaron Flint didn't get a chance to talk about the tragic events up there in Washington, D.C., and the assassination of our National Guard troops. And we're going to get into that a lot. We're going to talk about how it happened, who's to blame, and where we go from here. Once again, number to call, 406-294-0970, and we will get you on the air. See you back here in a minute.
It's November 28th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National French Toast Day. The perfect dish for breakfast or brunch on the weekend, few things are as satisfying or filling as French toast. Everyone from home cooks to professional chefs can put their unique spin on making delicious French toast, from topping it with fruit or adding powdered sugar and syrup, or just a dollop of whipped cream. And French toast also makes the perfect breakfast in bed meal to give to all moms and dads. Also on this date, in 1919, American-born Lady Nancy Astor becomes the first woman elected into the British House of Commons. And in 1984, the man who founded Pennsylvania, William Penn, and his wife are made honorary citizens of the United States more than 250 years after their passing. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actor and comedian Jon Stewart, born in 1962. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Fox Fox on Football. I'm Paul Stevens. Week 13 with a playoff picture coming into focus. Sunday's 1 p.m. slate featuring the 9-2 L.A. Rams, a Super Bowl pick by many, on the road at 6-6 Carolina, hunting the playoffs. 3-8 Cleveland hosting 8-4 San Francisco. 6-5 Houston in the playoff mix, traveling to 8-3 Indianapolis. The Colts, one of the year's surprise teams. New Orleans at Miami. Atlanta, a major disappointment, traveling to New York. And the Jets, those teams all with a night board next season. 6-5 Tampa with playoff hopes, hosting 3-8 Arizona. 7-4 Jacksonville at Tennessee, rounding out the early games. The late window featuring 7-4 Buffalo at 6-5 Pittsburgh, both coming off losses. The 7-4 L.A. Chargers hosting 2-9 Las Vegas. 8-3 Seattle hosting the disappointing Minnesota Vikings at 4-7. Sunday night, it's 3-8 Washington hosting 9-2 Denver. And Monday night, the NFL best 10-2 New England Patriots host the 2-10 New York Giants. Paul Stevens, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, some really sad news to talk about this morning. If, unfortunately, on the eve of Thanksgiving, Wednesday, we had two of our National Guardsmen patrolling the streets there in D.C., just simply walking down the street, when they were ambushed by a scumbag Afghan, comes around the corner with a .357 revolver in his hand, shoots them both, blazing in ambush style, before they even knew what hit them. And then shortly thereafter, within seconds, other National Guardsmen respond. One guy responding with, by all reports, a pocket knife. And then another guy responding with a firearm, and they take the guy down. This is Ramanula Lakhanwal, 29-year-old Afghan. Give you one guess how and when he got here. Yeah, I mean, everybody who's paying attention knows when he got here. Right after Joe Biden's disastrous catastrophe of a withdrawal from Afghanistan. You remember that in 2021, August of 2021. Very likely the most embarrassing, stupid, despicable act of foreign policy committed in my lifetime by a U.S. president. Anyone that he was even looking at this from a military standpoint, anyone who had ever even been there knew what they were doing was ridiculous and stupid. They did it anyway. They turned the entire country over to the Taliban and got how many of our soldiers killed in the process and lost how many billions of dollars of our military hardware handed over to the terrorist Taliban. Absolutely disgusting. Well, as in all things, Democrats will take any kind of destruction that they themselves commit and use that as an excuse to commit more destruction. So now what do? Oh, my gosh. We have to now evacuate and take in all of these, in big quotes, Afghan refugees. By last count, I looked this up last night, between 180 and 200,000 Afghans have been flown into this country since then. Absolutely horrible. And that's who this guy was. That's who this assassin was. He came in here in 2021 and, well, I guess was on a visa, was illegal, had overstayed that visa. Then, back during Joe Biden's time, applies for asylum, and his paperwork goes through here in April, after Donald Trump had only been in office about 3 months. The treasonous State Department went ahead with all of this while nobody's paying attention and everybody have just barely gotten confirmed and sat down in their chairs, that's where they're still furiously handing out these asylum claims that had been put in during Joe Biden's time. This guy was living in Washington State, had traveled, had ridden by car thousands of miles all the way across the United States to commit this act. That's all we're being told right now. No more details are out there right now that I have seen. Some of, you know, obviously for the Thanksgiving holiday, a lot of this stuff went dark. From what I also saw yesterday and Wednesday, immediately the FBI has hit his residence there in Washington State, and they've gone to another associate's place, as I understand it, in San Diego. Unfortunately, we hear yesterday that one of these National Guardsmen, a female, her name is Sarah Beckstrom, of Somerville, West Virginia, has died from her injuries. And the accounts of what happened there, it's not surprising, because apparently this guy shot her in the midsection and then walked right up to her as she lay there and gave her a shot right in the head. And very, very difficult to survive something like that, a .357 to the head at close range. The other guardsman, a male, is still fighting for his life in critical condition. We have not heard as of just a couple of minutes ago any status on him. As a result of this, President Trump has announced last night that there will be a permanent pause on all migration from third world countries. And bravo on him. And he also wants to use his administration to take a look at everybody that got in during the Biden regime on any kind of pass, be they asylum, green cards, whatever they did that was done during the lawless Biden regime with this illegal invasion. President Trump wants to take a look at now, and good on him. Good on him. Let's see. We got, there is the music for this break. I see we have Niz on the line. She is online for Standby One. We're going to come right back and get Niz on the line. I think she wants to talk about this Afghan jihadist. And we're going to get into this further. I want your phone calls. 406-294-0970.
Securing America.
A recent House Homeland Security Subcommittee hearing examined the importance and fragility of undersea communication cables and the risk of threats from their potential disruption. Alexander Botting is a global security and technology expert who says 70% of incidents to undersea cables are due to human error.
Yet in almost all cases, we fail to investigate and determine whether the damage was due to negligence or malicious intent.
He continued,
if we believe that our adversaries may intend to engage in sabotage, we must develop the means to distinguish between accidental and intentional disruption.
Kevin Frazier is an AI innovation and law fellow at the University of Texas.
Inadequate attention to this critical infrastructure risks jeopardizing the investments being made in AI, while also exposing the U.S. and its allies to significant disruption.
He also warned against the practice of using Chinese ships to make cable repairs. Kevin Newitz, Fox News.
The guru of
broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There we go. All right. Caden is telling me we are going back and forth between systems for the phones. We were going to try to run it out of his shop, and now we're going to run it out of mine. I'm waiting on him to give me the heads up where it's good to go. We see you on the line there, Niz. Stand by. He's going to give me the heads up when we can get you on. He's running back and forth in here. This, what did we do for the last 4 years? We screamed and shouted that as we watched our southern border be overwhelmed with these scumbags from the third world, as we watched our own president and our own people, our own charities bring all these people in with our money to the tune of hundreds of billions of our dollars, we screamed. We screamed as loud as we could, stop, stop, stop. This is wrong. This is illegal. This is an atrocity. And we were screaming it. Did you see any of our Republicans try to stop a Joe Biden budget that was funding all of it? No. Did you see him get up on Fox News with their talking points and you know, John Kennedy, oh, foghorn, leghorn, let me tell you something, that Joe Biden administration is like a three-legged coon dog. I mean, got the greatest sound bites and always got them good zingers, but they never did Adam Schiff about it, did they? They never stopped one budget. They never thought to or even cared to strip this money out of the budget that was being used to do this for 4 years, did they? No, they didn't. I think Kane's giving me the thumbs up here. We are good to go. Let's see here. We have Niz on line four. Good morning, Niz.
Hi, John. You know, Rahman Nuala Lakanwal wasn't just any Afghan migrant. He was a highly trained veteran of Afghanistan's elite commando corps. He fought alongside U.S. Special Forces in Kandahar for over 10 years. And, you know, in this conversation, it's really important to address that this degenerate jihadist is only one of thousands of jihadists from Afghanistan, most of whom faked their documents and ID cards over the years to work with our intelligence community. And that allowed jihadists to fraudulently move through the evacuation process by exploiting the Biden administration's intentional lack of vetting procedures and to take advantage of the NGO's intentional weak vetting procedures. We have thousands of terrorists in America as we speak that explicitly used the route through our NGOs as a pipeline into the United States. If this isn't a national emergency, I don't know what is.
Yes, tell everybody what group he was associated with.
He was with the Soros NGOs. And, you know, the couple that helped the Biden administration, they were a wealthy couple in Washington State. They were contracted through a Soros NGO to house savages from Afghanistan. And the State Department issued a very interesting statement just a week ago before any of this happened. It went relatively unnoticed. They put out a statement saying that mass migration poses an existential threat to Western civilization and that it undermines the stability of our key American allies. This all supports President Trump's comment last night saying that he wants to stop third world immigration. But as we all know, that takes will, and a key to doing that is ending, and I mean ending, the NGOs in America, full stop.
What group, what American group over there in Afghanistan was he linked with?
Sir, I apologize. I didn't know you were talking about the CIA.
The CIA. And, of course, now, I will throw a different take on this, and I'll see if you agree with me. This does not quite, this will get all of the conspiracy theorists out there going crazy and wrapping their tinfoil hats really tightly. But see, because of my experience over there, and I think your experience as well, I don't blame the CIA for this, because I know this could just as easily have been one of our groups over there. And just because they worked with a U.S. agency over there is not any kind of excuse to give them the carte blanche to come into the United States now. Now, I understand, like, say some of these full-time employees that worked with, like, worked for, were on the payroll of permanently working in the offices of U.S. agencies over there for years. I get that. But this guy, he's just fighting on some specialized team that was linked to the CIA. So what?
Yeah, I mean, he was on the Kandahar Strike Force. That was a covert paramilitary unit. They were very lethal. They were one of the most secretive forces in the Afghan war. I mean, they carried out night raids, counter-terror missions. They targeted operations against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. They were an intelligence-driven chain of Afghan commanders. So this is very unsettling that this guy was vetted. This was one of the guys that was vetted through our government. But yeah, I mean, the CIA has used hundreds and hundreds of people during the war. And, you know, this is on the Biden administration. This is no reflection of the CIA. Now, granted, they'll use a lot of degenerates, but that's who's over there.
Right, yeah. You're not going to get choir boys that join up for these things. But see,
that's
this
right.
guy, he was, you know, part of some unit associated with an American agency. So what? He's fighting for his own country. That does not mean, you know, whenever a conflict ends, we have to now bring him over. You know, we took him to raise. You know what I mean? You know, the only people that we should be helping out in those situations are people that were full-time employees working in our offices over there. And now to turn these people over to the Taliban will mean their deaths. They're going to be them and their entire families are going to be rounded up and executed by the Taliban. But that's a handful of people. That's not 180,000-200,000 people that Biden shoveled in here.
Yeah, and not only that, these people are much more comfortable going to Europe, where there are large contingencies of Afghans, or they can go over to Qatar and help our military because we have a base there. We do not have the luxury in America any longer to fight this the way we have fought it over the years.
What do you think this morning or last night about President Trump's new announcement that he is halting all third world immigration and taking a look now at all existing asylum and green card applications?
I think it's going to take far too long, and until anybody hears the declaration from the State Department, I would take everything he's saying right now with a grain of salt. His intentions are wonderful, his heart is in the right place, but this takes will from every single department.
I composed something, I think it was this morning or last night, where people don't stop to think Americans truly believe that everyone around the world is just like us. They just live in a different part of the world, but everyone's just like us. No, they're not. And the reason certain countries are perennial, that means forever, Adam Schiff holes, is because of the people that live there. They themselves have caused their own shift hole. And what do you think happens when you bring a whole shift load of them over here? They form their own communities and start the whole thing over right here.
That's right. They're an insular culture. They are not like Americans. It is very few that assimilate. We know what the problem is. The problem is getting them out. The problem is the leftist judges in America and the will inside of the White House.
Yeah, what do we do? What do we do with this massive problem? With the really, how many employees do we have? How many federal agents do we have out here in the whole federal agent corps? How many of them can be dedicated to this fight? And then how much obstruction are we going to deal with in the fight from these radical leftist judges?
Well, a lot. I mean, we've been seeing it over the last 11 months, and the White House must have the stones to ignore this, because if we continue to submit to the will of the left, we risk losing the country. And not only that, I think the White House is at the point where they're going to have a meeting with themselves about declaring a national emergency and bringing in the military in some of these Islamic strongholds.
Yeah, that brings up another point, the old national emergency thing. That is yet another thing I think we've seen judges try to tell the president that he can't declare. And that even if he does, he can't do A, B, and C under a national emergency. Where does that leave us? And are we at a point where you have to invoke the Insurrection Act or invoke martial law? Take it to that, you know, just push the button, push the DEFCON button, you know, to actually have make a dent in this. We're down to 3 years. We got 3 years left.
Yeah, and it's only escalating. I mean, it's not like they're backing off. And especially when you're dealing with the Islamic world, they don't fear President Trump because they have numbers. So this is a numbers game now. It's us against them. They are on the rise politically across America. And the president must address this. You know, he made a comment yesterday calling this the Afghan jihadist cuckoo. He said he went cuckoo and lost his mind. That's not what happened. This is a holy war, and this is what they plan to do.
Yes, there is the music. You want to hang on for the next break? Or are you good?
I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that was a great call we just had from Niz, subject matter expert in all things intelligence and overseas foreign policy and Middle Eastern cultures. We got a message here from Bonnie on the app. Says, good morning, John. So sad with this shooting in D.C., and yet people are out there after ICE, after these scumbags. Send them all back. Also, the Somalis in Minnesota. People, wake up. They are here to ruin your country. Amen. Amen. And I said, there's Perry on the line. We'll get to you in just a second, Perry. One thing real quick that plays right into this. I want you guys to understand, if you ever hear any of your Republicans out, and now Democrats say this all the time, but it has post-George Floyd crept into the Republican talking points about crime. And that is the following. We can't arrest our way out of this situation. That's a cute little talking point, ain't it? Cute little talking point thrown out there by Democrats, first of all, because they don't want any of their scumbag voters to go to jail, and they want to keep inflicting a narco tyranny on you. But it's also filtered into Republican talking points out there because, oh my gosh, if we just had more of this job training and rehab and skills training, that we could stop these people from being criminals. Well, until you've walked in the shoes of law enforcement officers, be quiet with that stuff. You don't know what you're talking about. And you guys know President Bukele of El Salvador. He, in maybe the history of the world, initiated the greatest crackdown, successful crackdown on crime ever. He took his country in just a matter of a couple of years to one of the most dangerous places in the world to one of the most pacified, peaceful places in the world. And he shows you with charts and graphs exactly how he did it. He jailed his way out of it. And he can show you on his charts with his graphs, as jailings went up, all crime and violence went down. The entire notion of law enforcement and criminal justice is we take bad people and lock them away for a period of time so they can't continue to inflict their crime on society. It's the whole notion of it. If you ever hear anybody say that, click. There's your sign. Right? Okay. Say, Caden, can you send me over line? Send me Perry over there on line four. He has to send that to me. And then let's see. I'm going to say here, click. And then there we go. All right. Are you on the line there, Perry? Perry is not on the line. All right. And we'll try that again here in a second. Perry, if you're on the line, stand by. We'll get to you here in just a second. He wants to talk about Mogadishu. I'm sure there's just something here with the system that's not doing it this time. Try sending that again, Caden. Oh, well. Let's see if it'll work. Let's see. It's okay. He's just saying, go. Okay. It looks like he's gone. It looks like he got lost in the transfer. Perry, call back if you can. Hey, Perry's always one of our great callers, is always dead on the money with his analysis. Also along that plays right into everything we just talked about the assassination of our National Guardsmen in D.C., is every bit of the constant, never-ending, violent, insurgentist, insurrectionist rhetoric coming out of the Democrats. Out of all the national and even the local Democrats are constantly out there with their messaging, telling people, you know, go after ICE, stop ICE, tell everybody where they are, dox them. They are kidnapping people. They're shooting innocent people. This was capped off by this. You guys heard of the Seditious Six? Here, about a week ago, six Democrat senators made this slick, scripted video where they're all of them coming out here and telling members of the intelligence community and the military to basically disobey orders, to just decide for themselves if something is illegal and then just disobey. And what does all of this do? You're made to believe, if you're a smooth-brained moron out here, or some kind of radical, mentally ill Afghan, that troops are out here and ICE is out here in our streets committing crimes. They're doing illegal things. So if you're some Afghan over there in Washington State and you hear this enough times, you jump in your car and drive across the country to assassinate one of them. The Democrats know this, and they keep it up because it's all a part of their insurgency, their guerrilla insurgency that they commit against this country, against the people, and against this government every day. And to this day, not one of them has gone to jail for it. Let's see. We got Perry back again here. Let me see. I'm going to try it again. Let's see. I got him right here. And boom. All right. Let's try him again here on line four. Perry, you there? All right. Yeah, I hit the... Okay, you might have to come in here and run him at me. And you run him at me, and then you manipulate the thing here. Maybe I'm manipulating it wrong. Yeah, he's back here. We're doing, like... Tell you what's going on here is Caden sends it over here to me, and then I have to do some right clicks and left clicks and back clicks and all this other stuff. Let's see, he's looking at it right now. Let's see, call pickup. You may hit it right now. There we go. Let's see. All right, Perry, are you there?
I can hear you.
Okay, that's what it was. You know what that was, Caden? That was call pickup. You had to hit on the thing that says call pickup. Well, good morning, Perry. How are you?
Well, your voice is really fuzzy. I'm getting a lot of feedback on it, but I'll keep going if you can hear me.
Go ahead. I got you.
Well, anyways, I wanted to call in. Your last caller news was so impressive. I'm going to be looking her up on X, but I wanted to throw my two cents in about Little Mogadishu trouble. The Somalians and their Medicaid fraud for the autism, for every one of their kids has autism and defrauding the federal government. Is there anybody who doesn't understand what kind of people, what kind of culture, what kind of mentality this destroy America from within? This is Thanksgiving. We're supposed to be thankful. And this kind of thing, allowing this, is the antithesis of what makes made America great. I don't know what else to say except if you don't understand what's at stake here with these people who came here to destroy the republic, we need to start taking the gloves off and jailing judges and mass deportations without any delay. We're lost.
Boy, that's a good one right there. Boy, I'm getting some real bad feedback on my... on my end here, Kate. Okay, I'm going to go down right there. Maybe that's better right there. How does that sound, Perry?
Well, that's better.
Okay.
It's hard for me to do that when it's echoing back at me. I wish I was as articulate as it is, but I'm not. But generally, the point of it is how can you have eyes to see and ears to hear and not understand what was done to us over the last, starting in 2009 and then through Joe Fox up Biden and all the rest of the commies in our institutions. We're at a win or lose point here, and I don't know what else to say to wake people up. It's going to be over with if we don't fight back.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The difference with Donald Trump is many folds here, because not only is he giving the largest tax cuts in history, and that includes for working men and women, that includes no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security. This is where I say that the Republican Party is now the party of hardworking men and women, and the president understands that, and he wants to represent people like that, and he did so in the first 3 years of his first term. That's why we had record low unemployment for every demographic group in the country, and it was one record set after another record set after another record set. It just kept going. And then, of course, COVID hit and everything stopped on a dime.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Right now in Ukraine, with the war ongoing, elderly Jewish people are trapped in unbearable poverty. For example, Galina is a 96-year-old Holocaust survivor who has spent her life in the same village. She's now sick and alone, and now it's bitter cold. Like every day, she's got to decide whether to spend what little money she has on food, medication, or heating. Now, thanks to your generosity and the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, you can bring hope to all of those in need. Your gift of $25 will help provide a food box packed full of life-saving essentials that will help feed an elderly individual, a Jewish person struggling just to survive. Don't delay. Your gift today will help provide these life-saving food and hope to people like Alina and many like her that are in desperate need. Rush your gift now. Call toll-free. It's 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-IFCJ. Online, it's HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship, one word, .org.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hello, hello. We got a message on the app from Cameron in Billings. She says, sure. Okay, how about that? How about that better? She said, sure, jailing sounds great, but we're already running out of room and our system needs a major overhaul. What do we do about that part of the equation? Yeah, I tell you, Cameron, I've called Montana home for the last 25 years and did part of my law enforcement career right here in Montana. And we have been asking for more jail space here since I got here in 2000. And as far as I know about it, no real effort has ever been taken by any of the people here in Montana in authority to do something about it. Not at the local county jail level, nor at the state prison level. It's all just Band-Aids and platitudes without actually doing it. And see, what do you got two things colliding right here. You have a population of the United States that's exploding just because of birth and, of course, illegal immigration. And then what is all that illegal immigration doing? What do you think 25 million people just under Joe Biden coming in here, the scum of the third world, what do you think that does to the crime rates? And we have to do whatever we have to do with all those trillions of dollars of tax money we send to our local, county, state, and federal system every year. By God, they need to be taking some of that money and building new prison facilities with it. Because that's the only way you're getting out of this, folks. Is by people understanding, criminals understanding out there, there will be consequences to their actions. I had people, I locked them up when I was working here in Montana. And they got locked, but we didn't eventually do them on a federal charge. We got them on some state charge. They end up down in the county lockup for 90 days or whatever it is. You know, that was back when, you know, they actually did lock people up or stuff like that. And they were 90 days sober. And I'd see them 6 months later, a year later, run into them somewhere, or they'd call me on the phone, and they would say, "You saved my life." Say, what do you mean I saved your life? Well, when you threw me in jail, and I sit there for 90 days and was forced to be sober for the first time in years, and I took stock of my life and knew I had hit rock bottom, and I never wanted to be here again. When I got out of jail, you know, I stayed sober. I went and got a job. You know, I tried to get back with my boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, and now I'm living a straight life now. And I hadn't done that. If you hadn't thrown me in jail, none of that would have ever have happened. And this is not reinventing the wheel here, guys. This is just basic law enforcement. That has been the messaging of it, and its mission has been perverted and corrupted by Democrats and certain members of the Republicans as well. It's the only thing that works. And I'm telling you that as a 30-year veteran. We're coming back here in a minute with the 9 a.m. hour on Montana Talks.
My mom has decided to learn to paint, and she's good.
My dad's now into creative cuisine, and I've already put on 6 pounds.
Learning new things comes with age.
My mom, she started forgetting my name and what we're talking about.
Forgetting well-known things doesn't. Memory loss may be a sign of Alzheimer's disease. Early detection gives you and your loved one time to plan for the future. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
KBUL.